Well, why don't you take your Bibles, and we are going to go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. We're going to continue on our little teaching series on how to read and understand the Bible. Many subjects in God's Word that are explained over a number of scriptures. Not necessarily all the information on one subject is in one verse of scripture. That'd be a real long scripture. But often they're throughout the Bible, all on one subject. Information in one book and then information in another book. And as a workman of God's Word, we have to be aware that one verse or one paragraph or one chapter will not necessarily give all the information concerning that subject. And so as a workman, we go to those different places in the Bible to see what it says and put them all together. And being the Bible is perfect, it is without error, it has a perfect harmony, there will never be a contradiction where it says one thing here and something totally opposite over someplace else. If there is an apparent contradiction, the problem will always reside in either one, our own understanding of what it's saying. It seems like it's saying this and saying that. Or it will be in its translation. Sometimes it's both. But it will always fit together in a perfect harmony. And people often refer to this process of looking at it and gathering the information as scripture buildup, where the scriptures will build up the information to make one full story out of many parts. So I thought to illustrate this today, we would look at a subject, and the subject is the others crucified with Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things that I went over when we first started this series is that the Bible interprets itself. We don't have to try to interpret it for it. As a matter of fact, we're commanded not to. It will interpret itself if we allow it. And one of the ways to allow that is to not go to the scriptures with preconceived ideas of what you think it says. It's dangerous. So we allow the scriptures to speak, and then we align our thinking according to what those scriptures say. We dare never to go to it thinking, oh, I know it says this in here, and then you can get influenced with your own understanding and read things into it. So the others crucified with Jesus Christ, the reason why I picked this is that probably most people who have any understanding of the Bible or have ever seen movies about Jesus Christ or ever seen pictures, it's kind of hard to live in our country and not see any pictures concerning Jesus Christ on a cross and the 10 people on one side and the 10 people. You always see these pictures with one person on each side. See movies with one person on each side. And so it's easy to go to the scriptures, read the gospels and say, well, I know there was just two people with Jesus Christ, so they leave it at that. So what we want to do is to look at what the scriptures say and see if it is indeed two people or whatever the number is. So to begin with, we're going to go to Luke chapter 23. Probably I'm the only one not there. Luke chapter 23, and we're just going to read the four gospel accounts that deal with the actual crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And it's the only place in the scriptures that deal with the specifics of that crucifixion. So that's why we're only going to these four. So Luke chapter 23, and we're going to start in verse 24. It says, and Pilate, he worked with American Airlines. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them and him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, and whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one, Simon of a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Some people say that, you know, there's certain denominations will have the 12 stations of the cross, and they'll show Jesus Christ carrying his cross. And here it says that they laid on him, Simon Cyrene, his cross. And you won't find the 12 stations of the cross in this section here, or any other section. But that's for another time. Verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. And Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Come over, or cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in thy dry? And this deals with a lot of Orientalisms, the subject that John covered. These are things that could easily be figured out. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. So these two are led with Jesus Christ, and it calls them malefactors. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them, derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself. For if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also is written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. So from this record, from what the verses glean, we can glean from these records, is that there were two people led with him out right after Pilate issued him towards Calvary, and they were called malefactors. And one was hung on the cross on one side and one on the other. So visually, long card, you would have this. You would have Jesus in the middle and one malefactor on either side, based on the obvious that's written here in Luke. So Jesus in the middle, one malefactor on the left, and one on the right. The next gospel we're going to go to is Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. And we're going to take a look at what it says. Now remember, the Bible does not contradict itself. It will either be, if it seems like it does, it's always going to be in our understanding that there's something that we're just not getting, or is going to be in a translation, a bad translation. Because as we know, the Bible was not originally written in English. It was translated from other languages. So, Luke chapter 23, we're going to start with verse I mean, Matthew chapter 27, we're going to start with verse 27. So to save some time, we're not going to go as far back as we did in Luke to get, we're going to get a little running start, but not that much run. So verse 27 says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, 'They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots.' And sitting down, they watched him there." This is all taking some time. Right? "They sat down and they watched him." Verse 37. "And set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Verse 38. "Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left." Now here it says they're thieves. In Luke we read it was a word called malefactors, right? Now, in the Greek, the word malefactor, two malefactors, Greek words, duo, which means two, as you know, and kakorgai, which means an evildoer. Here, it says thieves, duo lestai is the Greek word, two thieves. Two totally different Greek words, and that's the first clue. It might be something different than our picture we have in our mind. The second is, these guys came out after Jesus was hung on a cross, after they parted the garments, after they spit on him, after they mocked him, after they set up the signs, after everything. Then these other guys were brought out. Verse 39. "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.' And likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. But for he said, I am the Son of God.'" Verse 44. "The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth." So those two guys that were brought out after all those things were done, they cast the same into his teeth. Not literally. They just figure of speech there. But in Luke, we read that one reviled him and the other said, "Hey, hold it. You know, we're in the same spot here, only we did something deserving of." But he didn't. And then he asked Jesus Christ, you know, if he could be with him in paradise. There's two, there seems to be an apparent contradiction. So, seems like it. Something's not adding up here. So, but that's what it says here. So now we're going to go to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. We're going to look at that record. So all these things happen. Jesus Christ gets crucified. They part his garments. They sit down and watch him for a while. Set up the accusation. Then were two malefactors I mean, two thieves brought with them, with him, crucified, one on one side, one on the other. So Mark chapter 15, we're going to look at this one. Verse 18. And it says, and he began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." So they got that wrong. His name was Jesus. But they kept calling him Hail. Anyway. So, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head and with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compel one Simon of Cyrene, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him the drink, wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right and the other on his left. Again, this aligns with Matthew. Matthew says that they brought out two thieves. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, "And he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him, reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." And then we get that question we handled last week. my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So then it moves on. So here, in an illustration, in my pink sheet here, it seems like we have Jesus in the middle, and the first two guys that came out were the malefactors, and they put one on each side. And then after they did all these things, these two guys were led with him. After they did all those things, it seems like they brought out two other fellas with different evil doings. And one group, both of them reviled Jesus Christ, cast the same into his teeth. The other group, one guy said, "What are you, nuts?" You'll see what we did is fine. What he did, nothing. So it seems like there are more than two. So what happens is that we got to go to our minds and say, but the pictures I've seen show one on either side. And the movies I've seen show one on either side. And even going into a church building, I see one on either side. And we have to say, all right, which one's right? Well, we always know that the Word of God is not going to be in error. Man may be in error. Man may interpret the Bible wrongly, but the Bible itself won't be in error. Now, the last gospel we're going to look at is the Gospel of John. We're going to go to chapter 19. Now, the first three gospels we looked at basically show a lot concerning time. And the Gospel of John shows time, but it also shows a lot about placement. And we're going to look at, starting in verse 15. Chapter 19, verse 15, it says, "But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Now the other three gospels says right after that that they took a man named Simon of Cyrene, remember? And on him they compelled them to carry Jesus' cross. Here it says that Jesus took his cross and bore it. Now we can come to the assumption, well then Jesus must have carried it. We could. But remember, a verse of scripture, if it seems to be contradicting, you have to start taking a look. So what you can do, which we're not going to do today, is you look up what was the cross that Jesus Christ bore. And you look at all the other verses that show the word cross and what it was that he bore. And it will tell you exactly the type of cross that Jesus Christ bore. And it'll show you exactly the type of cross that Simon of Cyrene bore. It's not a contradiction. It's simply there are two crosses. One was a spiritual cross and one was made out of wood. So Jesus Christ took his cross, but it was a different type of cross. Verse 18. Where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. So here it's saying that they crucified Jesus, there were two others with him, and Jesus was in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And then it goes on, showing some things that they did for him and to him. And you look at this, and this does not seem to add up with the other three Gospels. And when they, verse 18 again, it says, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one. Now, we know that anytime the translators added a word to the English that was not in the Greek, they let you know by italicizing the word, right? So just the way they did it. But here, the word one is in a regular type. So you could assume, well, I guess it wasn't added. But if you go to a Greek and linear, which is easy to get, and you can look at this afterwards, many of you have this and have looked at it before, but... when you read the same verse, it has the Greek in one line and the corresponding English words right underneath it. And when you read, it doesn't have a corresponding Greek word above the word one. And in this, it also has the word one with brackets around it, which indicates that it was added in the Greek. It wasn't in English, or it wasn't in the Greek. And it doesn't belong there because it's not. There's no word to translate it, but they put it in brackets to let you know, okay, we added it, but in the King James Version, we're not going to italicize it. And why would they do that when all these other words they would italicize when they added? And the reason is because by the time they translated the King James Version, which was 1611, I think that's the date, it was so ingrained in their mind of seeing pictures and things like that. They didn't have movies back then, but maybe they had plays, that they thought, it's gotta be an error in the text. It has to be, I mean, it just has to be. So they plastered it into King James, it's regular print, and at least put the bracket in there saying, okay, we know there's no corresponding Greek word, we'll just throw a bracket there. But they still put the word one there. So you should take the word one right out. And if you read that, verse 18, it says, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. I mean, we don't talk that way. We'll say two on one side, two on the other. It's just a different way of saying it, but two on either side. There were two thieves, and there were two malefactors we saw. the one group both reviled them, the other group only one reviled them, it seems to add up to a different number than two. Another clue would be the word midst at the end of verse 18. It says, "And Jesus in the midst." Grammatically, midst is in between more than two people. If grammatically you would use the word middle. If you're in between two people, you're in the middle of them. Like Mary's in the middle of Rube and Rich, right? Tessa's in the middle of Terry and Mary. Max is in the midst of all those people back there. Just the way it is. So that should arrest our attention that something is amiss right there. So, okay, so we're going to read on. Verse 19 I read before, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh, the word nigh means close, to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it or rip it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And he saith, then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. How loving to be taken care of his mom, which was his responsibility, being he was the firstborn son, to take care of his mom, despite everything else that was going on. Talk about being busy. That's still taking care of what you need to take care of. Verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Where it says in the beginning of that, because of the preparation, it was a preparation day. It was right before Passover, and they were doing things to prepare for Passover, and as most of you know, the Jewish reckoning of time started at sunset. We started in the middle of the night. They started at sunset, and he died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they had just a few hours, and they needed to be ceremonially clean, so they wanted to speed up the death so they can get him off the cross and stay ceremonially clean. So they beseech Pilate to do it. And one way they did it, they would break the people's legs, that they were, I mean, they're bad enough already hanging there, and now they're going to break their leg, and it just speeds up the death. So, the soldiers come, verse 32, then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. And then the record is no longer concerned about the other guys. It ends and moves on to other things. Now, if it was based on what we've always seen as far as pictures, the way that they would have logistically had to do this. And all you construction guys would like this, because we do have to have logistics and how things get done. If they broke the legs of the first, which is just one guy on one side, and then they broke the legs of the other, which would have to be this guy, then they came to Jesus and saw he's dead already, broke down his legs. So they had to start here, go whatever distance it was between the two guys and Jesus in the middle, walk over there, and in the meantime, they had to just sort of like cover their face against Jesus to not recognize there was a need, and go to the other guy. Then they had to turn around and say, oh, we forgot Jesus. Let's go back. If you did that for employment, you probably wouldn't stay employed too long. So they broke, according to the scriptures, if you look at it this way, if they're based on what we've seen so far, that there were two on one side and two on the other, the Gospel of John shows they break the legs of the first and then of the other, which is the guy right next to him. And then when they came to Jesus, they saw he was dead already and didn't break his legs. Then the record ends. They probably went to the other two guys to see, because that was their job, but the Word of God drops the subject and moves on. So they break the legs of the first, they break the legs of the second, and then they come to Jesus and find out he was dead already, didn't break his legs. Now that actually fits in harmony with the other three Gospels. So by sheer logic, and by recognizing that the scriptures will bring tidbits of information perhaps in one spot and tidbits in another, and you put them together and do not allow your own understanding to get in the way and just read it. It's great to do this with young kids that haven't ever seen pictures or heard or know anything about it, and you let them add it up. And they always say, oh yeah, it's four. You have to wait till you become an adult and then inundated with preconceived ideas to say, well, that can't be. It's always been two. So it's just marvelous. So this type of research can be done on any subject, just like the one on the cross. Seemed like Simon Cyrene carried the cross, and seemed like Jesus Christ carried the cross. So what the heck's going on? We can go through all the different scriptures on that subject, put them together, and come to allow the Word of God to come to a conclusion that actually is in harmony with the rest of the scriptures. Then we can choose to align our thinking with that, or stay inundated with what we thought before. It's always better to align yourself with what the Word says. It's a lot more enjoyable. So it's just a simple key that we can apply to be able to read the Bible and then to understand it. So I know a lot of you already knew this, but it certainly doesn't hurt to hear it again. And it's always a joy to see the accuracy of the Word of God. It's just so marvelous. Us men don't get tired of looking at our wives. We don't get tired of eating. You know, it's just we never get tired of seeing the great accuracy of God's Word and how it works together. And the marvelous thing is we do not have to have a PhD in any subject, anything. The ability to, you know, where I've got a PhD in the Bible or any other letters. DA, that would stand for dumbass. I got a DA in the Bible. I'm trying to change some of those letters. But that anybody, if they choose to, and stays honest with it, and doesn't put in their own two cents, can get to what the Word of God says. So it's great. So I will leave this interlinear on the island. And also, many of you also have this, the companion Bible, that on the back there are a lot of different appendices of information concerning things that were worked out in the Bible. There's a section on here, the other others crucified with the Lord. And this was done by E.W. Bollinger. And there's a picture in Saxony of an old thing concerning the crucifixion, and it's done in some type of stone, and it shows five crosses, Jesus in the midst, two on either side. And so this is a picture more depicting what the scriptures really say. So those pictures are out there, and if you take a picture of this and reprint it, you'll have all kinds of pictures that show there are four crucified with Jesus Christ. So I just think it's great. Well, we are wonderful.